What if the antidote to our distracted, anxious age was discovered 2,600 years ago? When Oprah declared Joseph Goldstein's exploration of mindfulness transformative, she joined millions recognizing something profound, a practice so simple yet revolutionary that it's now taught in Google's offices, elementary schools, and hospital pain clinics. The Buddha's instructions for awakening weren't mystical secrets. They were practical, precise techniques for working with the mind. What makes mindfulness extraordinary isn't its complexity, but its accessibility. You don't need special equipment, beliefs, or abilities. You need only what you already possess, awareness itself. This ancient practice offers a radical proposition that freedom from suffering isn't found by changing our circumstances, but by transforming our relationship to experience itself. The Buddha's meditation manual, the Satipatthana Sutta, identifies four essential qualities that transform ordinary attention into liberating awareness. Ardency represents sustained, balanced effort, what Chinese masters called the long-enduring mind. It's not frantic pushing, but steady presence through practice's inevitable ups and downs, springing from recognizing life's preciousness. Clear comprehension transforms practice from self-improvement into understanding the human condition itself. As you become less judgmental and more accepting, the entire world benefits. Mindfulness carries multiple meanings, working together like instruments in an orchestra. As present moment awareness, it's the opposite of sleepwalking through life. As remembering, it recalls what matters when lost in reactivity. As balance, it prevents practice from becoming rigid or loose. As guardian, it protects against destructive patterns. Concentration emerges naturally when the mind releases desires and discontent. With ethics established through non-harming, the mind settles like a snow globe after shaking, clear, spacious, ready. The Satipatthana Sutta teaches contemplating experience internally, your own sensations, externally, others' experiences, and both, until the division dissolves into simple awareness. Mental noting, thinking, hearing, planning, supports continuity until these training wheels fall away. The practice culminates in abiding independent, not clinging to anything in the world, a mind free through releasing both craving and views of self. The Buddha begins meditation with breath, always present, always accessible. Find suitable space, sit comfortably yet alert, back straight but not rigid. Know when breathing in and out without controlling it. When your mind wanders, gently return. Notice whether breaths are long or short. This is mindfulness training, not breathing exercises. As practice deepens, experience the whole body while breathing, either feeling breath sensations throughout or experiencing the complete breath body from beginning to end. The breath anchors you to the present moment, the only place life actually happens. The Buddha extends mindfulness beyond formal meditation to all activities. Simply knowing I am walking, I am standing, I am sitting grounds you in body awareness rather than thought streams. Notice how postures reveal mental states. Rushing indicates anticipation. Slumping reveals discouragement. The Buddha taught acting with clear comprehension, recognizing motivation, knowing suitability, understanding proper practice, and seeing that no one is doing anything, just empty phenomena following cause and effect. The Buddha offers practices that decondition identification with the body. Contemplating the body's 31 parts, from hair to urine, helps you see beyond perceiving it as attractive or as self, diminishing lust. Contemplating the body as four elements, earth, solidity, water, cohesion, fire, temperature, and air, movement, addresses conceit. In walking meditation, you directly experience these: lightness when lifting the foot, movement when pushing forward, hardness when placing it down. When the body dissolves into impersonal elements, the conceit of I am falls away. Through these practices, you encounter relative and ultimate truth. Relative truth is our conventional world of subject and object. Ultimate truth reveals no separation, like watching a movie versus seeing it as merely light on a screen.
In Buddhism, vedana refers to the pleasantness, unpleasantness, or neutrality arising with each experience. Pleasant feelings trigger desire, unpleasant ones trigger aversion, and neutral ones trigger delusion. The untrained person suffers twice, first from the painful feeling itself, then from their mental reaction to it. The trained practitioner experiences painful feelings without aversion, remaining free from reactivity. The practice is simple. When feeling pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral sensations, just know it. No analysis needed. Your reactions of like and dislike signal opportunities to notice underlying feelings. As you practice, insight into impermanence develops. Like winds across the sky, feelings arise and pass away. This understanding brings equanimity, less attachment to pleasant feelings, less fear of unpleasant ones. The Buddha distinguishes worldly feelings, arising from sense contact, from unworldly feelings, associated with renunciation. Worldly pleasures carry hidden dangers, inherent harm, sorrow when they change, and unconscious strengthening of desire. Unworldly feelings offer pleasure without these dangers, becoming the basis for awakening. Despite its focus on suffering, Buddhism is ultimately a path of happiness. The third foundation focuses on contemplating the mind itself. The Buddha instructs knowing mental states as they are, a lustful mind as lustful, a mind without lust as without lust. This emphasizes recognizing the presence or absence of the three unwholesome roots, greed, hatred, and delusion, and how they condition consciousness. Rather than judging yourself when these states arise, simply observe them as visitors. The Buddha describes the mind as luminous, but defiled by adventitious defilements. By noticing both presence and absence of these states, you understand their impermanent conditions, not your identity. The Buddha emphasizes discerning what is skillful versus unskillful, what leads to happiness versus suffering. This isn't about self-judgment, but understanding which mind states to cultivate and which to abandon. While difficult states grab attention easily, the Buddha gives equal importance to recognizing when unwholesome states are absent, revealing their impermanent nature as visitors, not inherent qualities. Many practitioners struggle with self-judgment when defilements arise, thinking they're bad meditators. The key insight? Difficult mind states aren't problems, but part of the path, impermanent and selfless like everything else. During struggle, open awareness and ask, what is happening? Often, there's an unacknowledged mind state caught in a story. When you acknowledge what's present without struggle, the mind relaxes. The Buddha concludes with the Four Noble Truths, the essence of his awakening. The first truth, dukkha, encompasses not just obvious suffering, but the inherent unsatisfactoriness of all conditioned experience. Even pleasant moments carry seeds of suffering because they're impermanent and beyond your control. The second truth identifies craving as suffering's cause, the deeper thirst for existence itself, for becoming something, for experiences to be other than they are. The third truth points to liberation through cessation of craving, profound peace beyond birth and death. The fourth truth outlines the Noble Eightfold Path, right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. These elements form an integrated system where ethical conduct provides the foundation for concentration, which sharpens the wisdom that cuts through delusion. The Buddha affirms that anyone who develops the four foundations of mindfulness for 7 days to 7 years will achieve awakening. It's genuinely possible for all of us. In a world selling productivity in pills and mindfulness in apps, we've forgotten the most powerful medicine, simple, sustained awareness. Your mind isn't broken, it's untrained. Every moment offers a choice, to sleepwalk through life or to wake up to it. The breath you just took, the sensation in your body right now, this is where freedom lives. Not in some distant future when conditions are perfect, but here, in the messy, beautiful present. The Buddha's final words were, "Strive on with diligence. Not someday, now.